In the 11th contact, on the 15th of April 1975, again in mid-afternoon, Meyer is criticized once more for moving too slowly in getting his mission, for which he has been so carefully prepared over such a long time, into motion. He is advised that he needs support and that he should get his friends more involved and organize them into a group effort. When he complains of a lack of resources for such undertakings, he is reminded how they saved his life in the desert of Africa when he was totally without resources, that his training included helping him find resources where they were scarce. After more discussion, Meyer remembered something and asked Sannyasi about a new sighting observed from his home. Meyer says, "What was it in the evening of the 20th of March at 19:30 hours, which is 7:30 p.m. My children and my wife had called me to the window because they saw within only about a kilometer of distance an object of reddish or yellowish colors flying from north to south. Several neighbors had seen this from the street, too, and wondered about it. Sannyasi said, "This was none of us either, but the event is known to me. It treats of a beam ship of a race known to us from a neighboring system to our home planets. It treats of peace-minded beings who, for the sake of expedition, travel through space and to other worlds. Especially the Earth interests them, and so their shining beam ships are frequently seen. Their technologies are not yet as developed as ours, and the creatures are as well rather unconcerned whether they are seen or not." Whoa. Meyer asks, "What sort of beings or characters are they?" Sannyasi says, "They are human forms. And what is more important is that they are peace-minded and in contact with us, which unfortunately cannot be said about all who cross through the universe." The 12th contact occurred at 15:11 in the afternoon on the 20th of April, 1975. That's almost a quarter after 3. And this event occurred only half an hour after a photo demonstration. Meyer had taken pictures of some friends at this site a little earlier in the day, and now in the excitement of another flight demonstration and trying to get as many photos as possible, it appears that he had inadvertently reloaded the film with the pictures of the people on it into his camera and shot photos of the spacecraft on top of the others in what appears to be a series of double exposures. What a pity. When Meyer got the developed slides back and had them printed, he was sure that the Pleiadians had posed their ship over the heads of the people. But in a computer we were able to separate the two pictures into their separate parts, and they looked to be double exposures. If they were double exposures, the film frames matched together quite closely, which seems to be something very difficult to do, if not purely by accident. Sannyasi asked for the slides for study and did not bring them back. She criticized Meyer for trying to get people and the spacecraft in the same picture, though, saying that such photos may not be good for certain of those concerned. Meyer had brought small boxes and padding, as he had been instructed to do, and Sannyasi gave him some extraterrestrial mineral specimens she had promised, telling him what each was so he could make notes to later identify the specimens. While they were doing this, Meyer observed that the Pleiades is a so-called open star cluster in Taurus. Aldebaran is in Taurus. And asked how many stars they had there in that group. Sannyasi answered, "Some 254. Enormous, enormous area. Can you imagine the nearest 254 stars to the sun? Wow. Meyer came back to the landing site the following day to examine the tracks and noticed that an army team was searching the same area and taking samples. They had the landing place marked on their map. He pretended not to be involved and got on his moped and rode away. The 13th contact at 17:20, which is 5:20 in the afternoon, on the 25th of April, 1975, was a short one. Sannyasi said, "The time today is, by regret, very scarce. Thus we can only discuss the most important things. For the first, I will bring back the loaned book, about which I don't need to express myself more. I refer to the judgment which I have given you in my last contact. My views have not changed. And Meyer said, I will convey your answer to my friend, and on his behalf I also thank you for your trouble. Sannyasi, it's not worth mentioning, and on the other hand, I'm very delighted that your friend wanted my judgment of this book. If all your friends were as reasonable, confident, and friendly as he, then everything would run better with your mission. I'm delighted about your other two friends, though they are some ponderous and objective. This matter is only their thinking, which they first have to educate toward new objectives and new recognitions. Still, I can assure them of finding their endeavors, their perceptive faculties, and their will being remarkable. About the other persons in the group, I have already spoken in our last meeting, and I do not want to come to that again. If this is the final draft of this book, it was not proofread. Sentences beginning without a capital letter, many, many mistakes, and were translating from German, probably, to English, and whoever did the translation really does not have a very good command of English. I think Wendell Stevens had a duty, if he's going to put out a book, to go through each sentence carefully. It is a very important book, and he treated it as if it was a write-up for the army. Same style. Sloppy, careless, CIA-ish. On the other hand, because the CIA and the Army have such sloppy styles, it's pretty easy to identify them. So you take the good with the bad. I don't mean Army, I mean Air Force. Wendell Stevens was in the Air Force. Back to the script. The decision is done in this respect, by which it is sufficient. But their whole mind is not well for our undertaking. So I have wondered whether I should destroy the film which you exposed on Sunday morning of the 20th at 10 o'clock, in which they were photographed. I have decided to destroy the film, as was me. I think what she means is, I have decided to destroy the film because it contained pictures of people, and if those pictures were of me, I would destroy the film. Your closer friends should not be disappointed for that. As in the tomorrow day, I want to give you one more chance during the afternoon to photograph further pictures. I have but to settle the destination, no disturbing factors there being allowed, such as the mentioned persons represent. Hard to read because it's weird. Now here's a typo, because Sannyasi should not be in bold text here. It's not her dialogue, it's his, and he's using her name. Meyer says, of course I observe your decision, Sannyasi, though I pity the destruction of the film. That you offer one more chance for such photographing makes it acceptable again. What now still interests me is another matter. More and there I can observe UFOs, which according to their forms do not belong to you. Strange sentence. In most cases, the objects are but so very far away that one cannot see more details or even photograph them, which doing would be very interesting for comparison. Can I do anything in this respect to get sometime a chance for photographing? Look at how they split up the word photographing. Sloppy. The second question concerns the crystals you have brought me. My friend F.L. was delighted with the green malachite stones. He now asks you whether you could bring him a still greater piece of this same sort of mineral. These guys were holding something worth millions of dollars. If they had told people that these malachite stones came from other planets, the bidding price on those would be in the millions of dollars because of the rarity of them. And they probably sold them for a few dollars. And the people receiving them had no idea they came from other planets in other star systems. The cost of those flights would make those stones worth trillions of dollars. They could have easily gotten millions of dollars for them. And these clowns are asking for still bigger pieces? A gram of the material would be worth $100. The scientific value of having something from another planet, the rarity of such a thing. Meyer is not a businessman, that's for sure. And his suffering and penury was totally unnecessary. based on what he had. Why didn't Sannyasi say, we have studied the value of things in your society, and because of the rarity and the association of UFOs, of these minerals, we find that these are worth millions of dollars, and that you should offer them as such. And there might be some scientific way to prove that these could not have come from Earth because of the chemical makeup. There might even have been metals that we don't have. I've heard of craft being made of metals that we don't have on Earth. And that testimony came from Errol in Alien Interview. I read the whole book on this channel. So I'm sure there's a way to prove scientifically that these minerals did not originate from Earth, and that the place where they did originate on does not resemble Earth or the Moon, because we didn't have stones from anywhere else. We didn't have stones from Mars. Well, actually we did. There were some stones in the Arctic that came from Mars, but we don't have much of that sample. The people who have traveled the other planets are not going to tell anybody about it. They're going to keep that a secret. I want to return to the script now. Sannyasi says, I regard it very interesting that you pass over the destruction of the film so easily, which is just not your character, because I know very well how much you can become excited if anything does not run as you desire. So she's hinting that he's a bit neurotic. Then she says, you pose a riddle in this respect, but you also honor me that you simply accept my decision. Very good, girl. Concerning the strange UFO that you want to expose for a comparison, I myself can do nothing, unfortunately. She has no pictures of those UFOs? Come on. She doesn't want to expose those pictures? She's afraid that our people might shoot them down? Well, okay, possibly. Then she recommends, you well might influence them with your thought, concentrated on their flight and light mission, but not in a way that you could command them to come near enough to capture them on film. From my side, I have only a possibility to do so, so I will do this if I have a chance and call you. So she's telling him, I'm not that interested in putting you two together. But aliens are telepathic, and as soon as she thought the idea, those other creatures heard it. Those other creatures came here to study Earth and the inhabitants, perhaps, and maybe the society, and maybe they came here to see the Agarthans in the inner Earth. We are not the main event here. The Agarthans are. They're already fifth-dimensional creatures. Maybe she knows that they're not interested in us, that they have a duty to stick to what their objectives are, and she doesn't want to interfere with that any more than if you were in medical school and you knew that a fellow student was working on an important experiment. You wouldn't want to disturb that experiment in any way or influence him, because it's a scientific endeavor. And these outside influences can bias the experiment and can confound the results. So she also does not have much interest. But Meyer is intensely interested in these other creatures. And I don't blame him. I, too, would like to know, what are they like? What kind of ships do they fly in? What's their propulsion system? Do they speak language, or do they communicate telepathically? Do they have two eyes, two ears, a nose, and a mouth? Do they have a heart that beats? What's their internal organs systems like? Thousands of questions. Back to the script. Of course, I would like to bring a piece of the Malachite stone to your friend F.L., but this should not become a habit, as I have agreed in general bringing stones and crystals when they are destined for your collection's purpose or for the selling of them. But for your three closest friends, I will make an exception. However, they will have to be patient, because it will be some weeks before I can provide such things again. She has to travel to faraway planets to get these things. Amazing. Amazing, her patience. In respect to your lectures concerning our mission about needing more photos, we have conciliated. So I can tell you the decision that we agree to your making still some dozens of diaphotos, whatever that is, of my ship. I think that means video. This contrary to my former decision. We come to that from the opinion that a certain number of pictures of this kind are useful for the matter and are worth it. Nevertheless, we want to limit the pictures to an amount of 100, which surely should be enough. Well, since she limited the number to 100, I don't think that's video. Next card. Editor's comment. There is no little confusion over the pictures taken at Ravensbull at 10 o'clock in the morning on the 20th of April, when Meyer snapped a number of pictures of several group members standing upon a rise and looking out over the valley. A little after 14:30, 2:30 in the afternoon, that same afternoon, he snapped color photographs of a flight demonstration of the spacecraft in the same general vicinity. When he got the slides back from developing, he was surprised to discover many frames with an image of the spacecraft above the heads of the group of friends. I thought we already covered that. I'm confused. Now here's a misspelled word, Pleiades. At that point, he was sure that the Pleiadians had actually been in those pictures, but invisible to him and the group. In small slide form, they looked pretty much like Meyer might be right. The first direct printing from slides to prints was on the lighter side, and they still looked pretty much the same. In a later, denser printing, it became possible to see two separate horizon lines. When these prints were introduced into a good computer, it was possible to separate the images into their separate pictures. We can only conclude that Meyer is mistaken here and had lost count on the film frames he had exposed at 10 o'clock and confused some frames with those exposed at 2:40 in the afternoon without witnesses. If this work was proofread carefully, all this confusion would have been ironed out, but it leaves the reader very confused. Returning to the script now, it is entirely possible that Sanyasi destroyed some of the film with the error pictures, as she said, because at that time Mr. Meyer did not have the best of control over his photos and films. He may have had a partial roll of pictures of the people from the morning photos in his camera at the end of the morning picture-taking session and rolled it back into the film cartridge when he removed the film from his camera. Okay, so what's all the concern about? Either the photos are double exposures or they're not. Someone has to make a decision. If you see two horizons in the picture, just forget about them. Why spend so much time in a book telling us about double exposed pictures? What's the point? Back to the script. Putting it with his unused film to be finished later, he may have, in the excitement of his hurried snapshots of the flight demonstration that afternoon, unknowingly loaded it into the camera and started again with frame number one, forgetting that he had some pictures already on the beginning of the film, or even possibly thinking he had a fresh roll with no used frames and simply shot the whole roll over again, or he may have knowingly loaded it again with the intention of advancing the film past the earlier exposures with the people to new frames and just forgot to do so, either of which have double exposed that first frame and all subsequent pictures up to the first unexposed frame, after which the UFO pictures would have continued without the people below it. This is just about what I saw when I looked at this series before some losses there. Okay, we're covering all the would-have, should-haves, and could-haves, and it's a waste of time. The pictures, obviously, were double-exposed. We don't know how it happened. We don't care. Sanyasi is accusing Billy of purposely double-exposing them. I doubt very much that he did that. So what is going on with this alien intelligence? They're smart enough to fly across the universe, and yet they can't figure out his motives? They read minds and they don't know what he's thinking? What is going on here? Billy Meyer is not deceptive and clever like this. When you shoot a roll of film, you don't pull it out halfway through and roll it back. Who does that? When a roll of film is shot, nobody rewinds the film. So why does Wendell Stevens spend all this time confusing us, guessing about the method by which these pictures were double exposed? If there's a point to all of this, I'm not getting it. How about you people? No wonder this chapter is 238 cards long. But it does give us a little bit of insight into how these people think, everyone, and the fights that they had. Back to the script. In this case, the double exposures would have to be the first frames on the roll, and all with the lower edge numbers. Unfortunately, nearly all of the original diapositives have been lost, and we have been unable to locate those originals for possible verification. Okay. Is there a point to all this? Back to the script. Of course, we are only guessing here because we simply do not know, and Mr. Meyer is no longer certain, but does not accept our double exposure argument, preferring his own understanding. Well, I have to agree with Billy Meyer here. If there are two horizons, it might be possible that he moved the camera while taking the picture. He might have had the shutter speed too slow and moved the camera. Who knows? And why should we care? Now the script says, continuing now the talk between Sannyasi and Meyer. Meyer says, I am delightfully surprised, Sannyasi, thanks very much. Sannyasi says, your thanks is not necessary. Meyer says, nevertheless, I am delighted. But now still one question, does there exist the possibility, and Sannyasi interrupts him and says, regretfully, I must interrupt you. As I have said, my time is very limited today. Meyer says, I have a very short question. Sannyasi says, if so, please ask. Meyer asks, is there the possibility that you could bring from your home planet or from any other worlds some pictures any time, or that I can give you my camera by which then you get pictures? Sannyasi says, this I have to deny, unfortunately, because such would go too far. Besides the crystals and stones, we have to limit ourselves to the things of Earth. Oh, so she wants to give him crystals and stones from Earth. I thought they were from other planets. Meyer says, thank you, Sannyasi. This suffices for me. But I have just now remembered having been on the 21st of April, the day after our last meeting again at Ravensbull, having observed militaries there searching the whole environment. Have you noticed anything of this matter? Sannyasi says, this is a further question. But I know nothing of that event. It might well be possible someone having observed the departure of my ship and having announced this to the authorities or to the army, which now and then happens, unfortunately, after which a search is performed. This happens when we are not careful enough or when less careful strange ships appear and even land. As you know, we do take precautions in every respect to prevent such occurrences. Though all caution is not enough, because often there are observing eyes where we do not assume them to be, even at so late a time of the night. This may unfortunately then lead to unpleasant incidents, especially when we fly several times to the concerned place or have to touch down there. Especially authorities and the army feel themselves menaced in their power when they are informed of sightings and landings of beam ships, which are beyond their ability to control. Although we are not interested in upsetting or menacing their primitive force, as this mission is obligated alone to Earth human beings. Though they are very much interested in our ships and carry out research and examinations, the authorities and the army deny these facts very strongly. All information in this respect concerning spaceships, sightings, touchdowns, etc., are much denied by them, as well as their highly secret researches and examinations of beam ship landing places, etc. So do not worry about the military you have met at Ravensbull, because their investigations are secret anyway, and they hide themselves behind untruths about what they do. They will contest in every respect your observations, even if you demonstrated with photographs, which matter could be dangerous for you, as you know already from your own experience. So do not worry about the machinations of the army, as this could otherwise become dangerous for our matter. The 14th contact at 1400, which is 2 o'clock, on the 29th of April 1975, was called by Meyer, where the crystals were discussed, and a criticism of some archaic laws still in the books took place, with an observation that most man-made laws were outside of human dignity and beyond reason. The discussion then turned to group members until Sannyasi interrupted with a warning that a vehicle was approaching, a tractor, and that she must leave immediately to avoid arousing suspicion. She departed immediately. The 15th contact, only 2 days later on May 1st, 1975 at almost 4 PM, was urgently called by Sannyasi, and the opening conversation was as follows. Sannyasi says, "I have called you so urgently because I have to talk to you about very important things. So listen carefully so that no misunderstanding should arise." And Meyer says, "Just speak, Sannyasi. As usual, I am all ears while you talk. I can, at least, catch my breath, for you have hunted me through very much landscape. Uphill, downhill, through thorns and water puddles, I had to run. Why haven't you called me to the Canton Wallace, a very distant county?" I think that should be, "Why have you called me to the Canton Wallace?" Sannyasi laughing, "I could have commanded you still farther away, but I didn't think it necessary. It was important to order you here because we are fully undisturbed. While in the surroundings closer to your home, many humans are taking excursions." Sannyasi explained some events observed and sought to redress some misjudgment on her part. Ooh, they made a mistake. Aliens are fallible. Sannyasi, "I have to confess to having made some mistakes which have brought me to wrong conclusions. Yet I don't want to exclude that you can came in the same way to wrong decisions as I. At all ends, we are human beings, even when come from different stars and spiritual positions, being fundamentally like-minded creatures who have to go the way of their own evolution. This then does not exclude my making mistakes, which I ask your friends and acquaintances to understand. We really are not creatures of perfection, as some would like to label us. If such things happen under me, then I do call them, because it would make no sense for me to hide or contest them. Such would only work to my own disadvantage. Now I want to explain about the help which I promised to your group, in which I will have to ask you to evaluate such assistance as well as other. No persons not being group members should be initiated into these things. To all of those, I suggest you keep silence about some things. So I want to direct, in your interest, that you hand over to certain persons contact reports and photos, but no photo negatives, films, or diapositives. You also should hand over crystals and minerals only to members of the group or to other secure persons, but never to strangers to your group. You may perform film and slide lectures, but be careful of the lecture materials. There exist those who would like to seize possession of the materials at your disposal, and who even do not neglect intrigues for this purpose. In this, be very cautious, for we cannot interfere if you should cause difficulties for yourself. After a short discussion of image projections and related phenomena, and a description of an experiment she offered to demonstrate at another time, she brought this meeting to a close. And Sannyasi says, "But now again the time has come that we have to say goodbye. But I myself will call you again after a short while, because there are other matters to be cleared." And then Meyer says sarcastically, "But call me then to China or Chihuahua, Mexico, as those places are nearer than this place." And then Sannyasi, even more sarcastic, says, "May it also be the South or North Pole?" And Meyer says, "As you desire, Sannyasi. Only there it is a bit cold, which I don't like much." So he lives in Switzerland? In the mountains? The 16th contact came only 2 days later. Took him 2 days to get back home. In the form of a thought transmission in which the Pleiadian visitor confessed some inattention on their and Meyer's part during a recent photo demonstration when she was concentrating on positioning the ship, and he was overly concerned with the operation of the camera, thus escaping the detection of both. Some people who observed the demonstration and the filming and became astonished by the performance. Some of these followed Meyer, still being unnoticed by him, and made inquiries about him. Three of these undertook steps to expose Meyer's activities in certain places, one of these being the place where the spacecraft circled a weather pine for comparison purposes during the filming. They had decided to eliminate that tree, which was one of the reasons for this contact, and the Pleiadian warned that they must be more careful in the future in such matters, one of the reasons for picking the remote contact sites. She cautioned that the landing places must remain secret, which must also be understood by the group around Meyer. Now, eliminating that tree, I believe that's the story whereby the ship caused radiation damage to the tree, and they could not repair the damage, and so they moved the tree by going back in time and moving it when it was a seedling. And everybody in the neighborhood remembers it growing up in the new place, and Meyer still remembers it growing up in the old place, and he asked the neighbors about that, and they think he's crazy, because the tree has always been in the new place, because they went back in time and changed it. So, I don't know if this reference to that tree is the same tree, or if they would actually eliminate a living thing like that. I doubt that they would kill a tree. I think it's probably the same tree. But now the story changes, and it's not radiation damage, but somebody who's spying on Billy Meyer takes samples from that tree or something, and that's the reason why they eliminate that tree from that location. So, I don't know what's going on, but maybe it will unfold later.